Jesse Romero, we're 10-8. We're open for calls. We are here to give you some intel, some very good sound advice, and some facts today, Jesse. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm 10-8. And hey, Ruben, let's just get right to it. Let's play. Her name is Heather McDonald. I want you to hear her. She wrote a book. It's called The War on Cops: How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. Heather McDonald, I want you to listen to her in her own words. She's a scholar at the Manhattan Institute. Can you play the clip?
Does the truth matter? Not to groups like Black Lives Matter. That's tragic for many reasons, not the least of which is that Black lives are being lost as a result. When it comes to the subject of American police, blacks, and the deadly use of force, here is what we know. A recent deadly force study by Washington State University researcher Lois James found that police officers were less likely to shoot unarmed black suspects than unarmed white or Hispanic ones in simulated threat scenarios. Harvard economics professor Roland Fryer analyzed more than 1,000 officer-involved shootings across the country. He concluded that there is zero evidence of racial bias in police shootings. In Houston, he found that blacks were 24% less likely than whites to be shot by officers, even though the suspects were armed or violent. Does the truth matter? An analysis of the Washington Post's police shooting database and of federal crime statistics reveals that fully 12% of all whites and Hispanics who die of homicide are killed by cops. By contrast, only 4% of black homicide victims are killed by cops. But isn't it a sign of bias that blacks make up 26% of police shooting victims, but only 13% of the national population? It is not, and common sense suggests why. Police shootings occur more frequently where officers confront armed or violently resisting suspects. Those suspects are disproportionately black. According to the most recent study by the Department of Justice, although blacks were only about 15% of the population in the 75 largest counties in the U.S., they were charged with 62% of all robberies, 57% of murders, and 45% of assaults. In New York City, blacks commit over three-quarters of all shootings, though they are only 23% of the city's population. Whites, by contrast, commit under 2% of all shootings in the city, though they are 34% of the population. New York's crime disparities are repeated in virtually every racially diverse city in America. The real problem facing inner-city black communities today is not the police, but criminals. In 2014, over 6,000 blacks were murdered, more than all white and Hispanic homicide victims combined. Who is killing them? Not the police and not white civilians, but other blacks. In fact, a police officer is 18 and a half times more likely to be killed by a black male than an unarmed black male is to be killed by a police officer. If the police ended all use of lethal force tomorrow, it would have a negligible impact on the black death by homicide rate. In Chicago, through just the first 6.5 months of 2016, over 2,300 people were shot. That's a shooting an hour during some weekends. The vast majority of the victims were black. During the same period, the Chicago police shot 12 people, all armed and dangerous. That's one half of 1% of all shootings. Does the truth matter? If it does, here's a truth worth pondering. There is no government agency more dedicated to the proposition that Black lives matter than the police. The proactive policing revolution that began in the mid-1990s has dramatically brought down the inner city murder rate and saved tens of thousands of black lives. Unfortunately, that crime decline is now in jeopardy. As I write in my book, The War on Cops, police officers are backing off of proactive policing in black neighborhoods thanks to the false narrative that police officers are infected with homicidal bias. As a result, violent crime is going up. In cities with large black populations, homicides in 2015 rose anywhere from 54% in Washington, D.C. to 90% in Cleveland. Overall, in the nation's 56 largest cities, homicides in 2015 rose 17%, a nearly unprecedented one-year spike. Many law-abiding residents of high-crime areas beg the police to maintain order, precisely the type of policing that the ACLU, progressive politicians, and the Obama Justice Department denounce as racist. This is tragic because when the police refrain from proactive policing, black lives are lost. Lost because of a myth. The best research and data reach this conclusion. There is no evidence that police are killing blacks just because they're black. You now have the truth.
Wow. Factual. Works for the Manhattan Institute. Heather McDonald wrote a best-selling book. She's a New York Times bestseller. And this book is called The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. Ruben, there's a lot. The lot can be said here. But one of the things that I want to say is that, objectively speaking, why is this happening? As Catholics, we're going to get into the whys. And Paul Clay's going to call up at 11:30. Paul's a Catholic. He's a retired lieutenant, and he's also black American. So he's going to be calling up at 11:30 to get his take. But here's a few things that I would say, Ruben. This is objective. And the reason this is happening is because Our Lady of Fatima told us that before the second coming of Christ, who would be attacked? The family. Well, guess what? 73% of black babies are born out of wedlock. And so I would say that systematically the black family has been attacked more than anybody else, or susceptible to that attack. And I'll tell you why. Come from the spiritual warfare point of view. Who protects the family? Who protects the family? Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Dad's called the Saint Joseph of the family. Dad is the priest of the home. The home is his domestic church. And grace flows into the family through father, through his faith, through his prayers, through his penance. And also, the lack of a father brings down the malediction, the curse. It brings down the diabolical, or the house is unprotected. If you have 3 out of 4 young blacks without a family, without a father, guess what, Ruben? They are unprotected from the preternatural, from the diabolical. And this is what you see here. You see, again, 8,000 to 9,000 African Americans are being murdered each year. 93% of those murders are at the hands of other African Americans. And when people want to be objectively true about this, the fact is, I'll tell you why these young black men have this bent or this opposition towards authority. And you know, Ruben, you were a cop for over 30 years, okay? You worked the jails, you worked the streets, you know what I'm talking about. Even Reverend Jesse Jackson, who's one of those race baiters, he admitted this back in 1996. Look at what he said in 1996, 3/10/96. He said this, quote, "There is nothing more painful to me than to walk down the street and hear footsteps and start thinking about robbery, then look around and see somebody white, and I feel relieved." Reverend Jesse Jackson was saying that in the context of black-on-black crime. He was essentially saying, when you read the fuller quote, he's saying that he feels very afraid of young blacks, especially when he's going to an ATM or he's going to the market. And he says, when he turns around, he says, it's a bunch of white kids making the ruckus. He's relieved. Ruben, all of us know this. All of us know this to be true. And the reason this is happening, the reason there's more of a propensity of violence amongst young blacks, I'll tell you why. It goes down to basic Catholicism. If there's no father in the home, the family's unprotected from the diabolical. And number two, young blacks have a father wound. Well, guess what exorcists tell us about Satan? You know what makes Satan so vicious? He has a perpetual father wound because he was thrown out of heaven, so he'll never have a relationship with God the Father. So Satan roams around like a roaring lion, totally wounded with a father wound. Well, guess what? 3 out of 4 young blacks have this father wound. And so when they see anybody in a position of authority trying to tell them to do something, they're going to push back. Because what does the father do? A father affords discipline. A father affords structure. A father affords, teaches them temperance and prudence. And this is just terribly lacking, unfortunately, in the Black community. Ruben, you have any comments?
You're right, Jess. This is something that I saw on a daily basis working, you know, working the jails. They, a lot of them were very, you know, antagonistic, and you just, they didn't do well with authority. And so, you know, that most of us that dealt with the Blacks in the community that weren't Black, it was harder for us to relate to them. It was harder for them to relate to us. That's one of the reasons I chose to go to East LA, so I could police the Hispanic community. And I'll tell you what, Jess, the facts speak for themselves, and we'll get into it on the other side of the break, but I've got more to say.
Got it.
All right. You're listening to Jesus 911. We'll be right back.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time, because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Pro-life across America, the Billboard people.
How does the baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-life across America, the Billboard people.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Hey, Jess, before we get going on this, I just got a text here. It weighs heavy on my heart. My cousin's daughter, so it would be my second cousin, she just succumbed to COVID-19. She was only 41 years old, mother of four, single mother of four. And her name is Carmina. Just want to say a prayer for her and her family.
Lead us, Reuben.
Eternal rest grant unto Carmina, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon her. May her soul and all the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. Well, you know,
That's why we have to live in it, Reuben. Just we got to all prepare. You know, like you're always saying, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And that what you mean by that is we got to be ready and stay ready with Jesus Christ, live in a state of grace. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
Reuben, let me get into a little bit about where I believe this whole problem started. Okay.
Okay.
I would say that the wrong-headed welfare system started in the '60s by the Democrat Party under Lyndon B. Johnson's quote unquote great society. You know, he was supposed to have this war against poverty. The system, the welfare system, in my take, has actually waged war against marriage. And I'll tell you why, because LBJ's great society, it set up this grossly immoral system. What do I mean by that? Well, millions of Americans were taught that they had this entitlement, pick the pockets of law-abiding, tax-paying families if they met two conditions. Here was what Lyndon B. Johnson said to the Democrats. If you don't work, and if you're not married to someone who did not work. So this destroyed the welfare system, destroyed the work ethic. And what it did, it subsidized illegitimacy by giving single moms money and scores of benefits like welfare, food stamps, Medicaid, housing subsidies, WIC, child tax credits, SCHIP, all these commodities. And LBJ's welfare system undermined marriage. And what it did, it caused all these social problems because, you know what? It led to fatherless homes because men said, you know what? The state's going to take care of my woman if I had to leave and go with somebody else. So we started seeing what started creeping in the 60s, drugs, sexual promiscuity, suicide, runaways, school dropouts. And but the feminists, they were rejoicing in this cash cow called welfare because they're saying, hey, this helps us deconstruct this oppressive patriarchy. And so the liberals, they were rejoicing because of their handouts. You know, these handouts that they were getting, it required more bureaucrats and higher taxes. And so the welfare system, and you know this, we're having worked the streets. You've seen in the barrios, Reuben, in the poor areas, in the ghettos, you've seen that the welfare system has destroyed the patriarchy, and it's created a matriarchy. Amongst millions of kids in this country, they lack a father in the home, most especially the blacks. 73% of blacks' homes don't have a dad. That's a huge tragedy. And what you know what this does, the welfare, what it's also done, it's made men irresponsible. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. You know what I'm saying? Hey, see ya. You know, let the government take. Big brother government has replaced husbands, especially in the black community. And the feminists call this women's liberation. This is garbage. This is what's turned the inner cities into a matriarchy. And basically what you have right now, you see twice a month, all these women leave their home in the morning, go to their mailbox because they're trying to get their government income. And you see women that dominate also the social worker programs. Women's dominate most of the schools. So most young inner city boys, especially blacks, are not growing up with any father figure. They're searching for this male guidance. They're searching for this companionship. They get female teachers. They have female social workers, and they have mom at home and no dad. So what do? They hit the streets. They see the tough guys in the streets that just came out of youth authority or prison. You know, these big guys that are pumping, you know, 300, 400 pounds bench press, and they're looking for male guidance. They're looking for companionship. They're looking for this mentoring. And these fatherless homes, especially amongst the blacks, it's harmful to them. It's destroying the black. It's destroying every family, but especially the black families unraveling faster. Reuben, what say you?
You're absolutely right, Jess. Absolutely. And but going back to what Mrs. McDonald was saying about the disparity in police shootings, you know, with the blacks will always point out, blacks being shot 25% more at a higher percentage rate, and they only make up 13% of the population. But as she pointed out, they're committing the majority of violent crimes. You know, over half of the murders are committed by blacks, you know, and
black males, Reuben, are only like 5 to 6% of the population. That's 5 to 6. Remember, 13% is all blacks, male and female. So the men are about 5 to 6% only.
Yeah. And so what's happening now, I know that the numbers are going down in terms of confrontations with blacks because police are just they don't want to be scrutinized anymore. They do
everything to avoid a confrontation.
Absolutely,
with every cop that I know.
When they talk about unarmed blacks being killed, last year I think there was like 20 unarmed whites that were killed, 9 unarmed blacks that were killed. Okay, and when I say unarmed, that doesn't mean they don't pose a threat. And we saw that in Ferguson when the officer was socked in the eye socket with that big guy Michael Brown, when he socked him up, tried to get his gun. So that in that instance, he would be considered armed because it's a life or death situation. So he wasn't charged in that shooting. And what's going on now, I dare to say that the inner cities are going to be less safe because the police are just, they've had it. They say, okay, you don't want to support me. You want to defund me. You want to get rid of us. And like they're saying in Minneapolis, bring in social workers to just try to talk them out, talk them off the ledge. Okay. You know,
Ruben, it's worse. The congressman from Minneapolis, Omar, says we need to bring in Sharia law and have Sharia law police here. They're actually discussing that.
And then who's the other? Tlaib. She says we got to get rid of all the American flags in the classrooms. Take them out of the schools. She's pushing for that because the American flag, you know, it's oppressive to many people, and many of these students aren't American citizens, so they're offended. Well, then why? You know, you're living in America. If you went to, you know, Russia, would they allow you to take their flag down? Of course not. We just lost our way, and I think what's happening is whites and even some Hispanics are feeling like they have to apologize for being the race that they are, and that's nonsense. We weren't responsible for slavery. We weren't responsible for that, for the officer being killed. We all agreed that was egregious. That was wrong, and that was, you know, that's the first time I've seen that type of death. But I'll point something else out because some of the things that are coming out in his autopsy, you know that he was COVID-19, Jess, right? Okay, so could that be the reason why he couldn't breathe?
I don't know.
It affects the respiratory system. You know, I'm not justifying what the officer did. His knee was on the back of his neck, not on the front of the carotid arteries. But when you're down, he's, you know, a big guy, heavy set, so it's going to be harder to breathe on your stomach, no doubt. But if he also had COVID-19, you know, that's underlying condition that could have had effect on his, you know.
Well, yeah, it affects your respiratory system.
Right.
But Ruben, I think the bigger point is this. As a Catholic, here's why all this is happening, this systemic clashes between a lot of young black males, let's just be honest, because young black males and the police, okay? It's pretty simple. The Catechism says in paragraph 2087, it says, ignorance of God is the reason for all moral deviations. These young black guys are ignorant of God. They're not like their forefathers, their fathers and grandfathers in the past. These guys were church-going Protestants that would sing to God and raise their hands, and they had joy, and they're trying to search the scriptures, and they were trying to have a relationship with Christ as best as they understood. This is a different generation, Ruben. This generation has grown up secular. They've grown up godless. They've grown up without any value system, without any morality. And in fact, even worse, if you want to know the morality of most of these young male blacks that commit these violent crimes, because it's a small percentage. It's young male blacks, like between 18 and 30. Okay, that's what we're talking about here. What are they cutting their teeth on? Ruben, have you ever watched the BET channel?
I never watched the whole show, but
okay,
you might
as well call it Crips and Bloods Incorporated. Because what it does, it promotes the thug lifestyle continually. I'm not saying there's not some redeeming shows, or I'm sure there has to be some. But by and large, what they run in a loop is this image of the black, especially the young black. A lot of girls, guns, drugs, wearing low pants, silver and gold teeth, has a lot of sex, the rap music. And guess what? A lot of people that are not black, they turned onto the BET channel and they say, wow, look at that. And so this people are being trained. Number one, young blacks are being trained. This is the way you live. Watch the B channel 24 hours a day. This is us. This is our culture. And non-blacks like us are saying, wow, they really have systemic problems within their family and society if that's the way they live. And so, again, this is why, you know, St. Padre Pio and other great saints have always talked about taking custody of the mind, custody of your eyes. You got to watch what you take in. You can't be taking garbage in 24 hours a day and not expect for that to regurgitate. And I have to say it, look at a lot of the movies that depict blacks in Hollywood. And who's behind these? Who's behind this? There's an article, it's secular Jews and secular Caucasians that run most of these production companies in Hollywood. They use these young blacks as useful idiots to make some of the darkest movies depicting a stereotypic black life. And guess what, Ruben? This gets baked into the mind of Americans, you and I and blacks themselves. They go, this is the way they live. Or they say, yeah, this is the way we're supposed to live. This is reinforced by these liberal, you know, secular Jews that run most of Hollywood. What say you?
Jesse, you're right, and the media plays right into those politicians that want to affirm that they're being held back, they can't prosper with that because they have not been given the chance to succeed, and that's just ludicrous. You know, when we had a black president, for God's sakes, the highest paid comedian, forget his name, the little short. 5'4" guy. I don't watch him too much, but anyway, you know, the highest paid athletes are black, you know.
Ruben, I've been told that if all the black Americans pooled their money together, they would be like, I don't know, something like the 20th most powerful economic engine on planet Earth.
It's just not, you know, my dad raised me that you can be whatever you want to be. You could do whatever you want to do. Don't let race, your creed, the color of your skin, you know, be the reason why you're not going to succeed. And those people that do succeed, you look at Dr. you know, Carson, you know, a brain surgeon. Now he's the secretary of
he was
urban.
Raised by a single mom too.
Yeah, so
he had everything against him.
You just got to be an excuse eliminator. But if you grow up thinking, well, I can't do it. I've got to rely on welfare, you know, that all my life. So I'm going to go out and sell drugs, and I'm going to, you know, then you get in trouble with the law. You bring attention to yourself. And you wonder why the police target you. It, you know, so just like they used to say, hey, I had a Hispanics in East LA ask me, why you're going to stop me because I'm Mexican. I go, what do you think I am? You know, come on, Mitch. Well, give me some Asians, some blacks, I'll stop them too. A crook is a crook. Doesn't matter what color their skin is.
We'll be right back.
Yep.
Hi, this is Jesse Romero from the Terry and Jesse Show, also from Jesus 911. Let's face it, we all need to use the internet, but we need screen accountability. Why? Pornography is a huge problem, especially on the internet. And every time we tap into the internet, we get bombarded with images and temptations that degrade our humanity. So we need covenant eyes to block these pornographic sites and advertisements from infiltrating our lives. Covenant Eyes helps us take custody of our eyes and custody of our intellect. So I recommend you go to covenanteyes.com and type in the promo code VMPR to support the network. Protect yourself and your family from the imminent threats on the internet. www.covenanteyes.com, code VMPR. Live porn free. Thank you for listening to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Thank you. God bless you. Keep the faith.
Healthcare news today seems to be coming from everywhere and everyone. It's confusing, at least, and untrustworthy at the worst. Dr. Aceta is a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community. He is trustworthy, well-researched, and will only give expert opinion on matters in his own specialty. Catholic teaching at its entirety is of utmost importance to Dr. Aceta. Give Dr. Aceta a call for your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-695-6617.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911. You stay ready, you don't have to get ready. We are talking about how much a role does race play in police killings, and we're going to kind of go into who are the racists now. Who really are the racists now, Jesse?
Ruben, I think first of all, Heather McDonald, if anybody wants to get the article that we quoted from, she's got a book. If you want facts, she's got the facts. They're unimpeachable facts. But the point of the matter is, and by the way, we got Paul Clay. He just called up. He's a retired lieutenant, L.A. Sheriff's Department, serious Catholic, and he happens to be an American of Black descent. Paul, you're on Jesus 911. You've probably heard some of our commentary. What's your take on the reason that's, again, we know that 73% of Black babies are born out of wedlock without a father in the home. We know that this is systemically harmful to children, fatherless homes. From a spiritual warfare point, we know that the devil attacks the family, specifically when there's no father, the family's unprotected. You grew up in New Jersey. You're a Black American. You're a serious Catholic. You're a lover of Christ. What's your analysis of all this? I mean, you were actually a cop, too, so we want to get your take on how this problem, why is this problem so acute amongst young Blacks between 18 and 30, and are the police systemically racist?
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the short answer on that last statement that you made, and the answer is no, the police are not systemically racist. Now, are there individuals who happen to be working for the police department that may commit a racist act? Of course. But as far as a system, that's stacked against and systemically racist, absolutely not. You know, as a matter of fact, it's kind of funny. I was in a restaurant the other day, and a guy standing behind me was from South Africa. And he told me that the conversation came up about, current events. And he just said, it's sad to me because the people here claiming racism, he said, they don't know anything about racism until you lived in apartheid, completely
wow.
Different. He had a different perspective. And I think, that's a valid point. Now, Jess, listen, you peeled back the layers of the onion and you went right for the juggler, which is the problem is the dysfunction, in the basic building block of society, which is the Black family. And this is, people need to understand, particularly those people in political positions and, that want to change God's master plan, for the human race, God has already indicated, the correct order and how society should be. And when we start manipulating things and, like Jess, you mentioned before, President Lyndon B. Johnson and his idea for, bringing
the Great Society.
He met. Yes, the Great Society. He met well. But what does it say in Proverbs 14:12? There's a way that seems right. It seems right to a man, but that way leads to death, and nothing could be more prophetic than that. When you look at the death and destruction that has occurred in the Black community, the ways that these politicians and the members of the Democratic Party, progressives, as they like to call themselves, they make these decisions that seem right. And, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say that most of the time they think they're doing good, but in the end, they're doing incredible harm, because what do the laws say? For every action, there's an equal and an opposite reaction, cause, effect. And that's exactly what you see playing out right now on the streets of every major city across America.
Hey, good point, Paul. And good morning, LT. Good to have you with us.
Good morning, Ruben. We got a three-man hoop right now.
That's right. I'll sit in the back. I don't care. I'm going to defer to my higher-ranking.
Hey,
Paul, you're absolutely right. And the fact is, you know, when we start talking about racism, you know, everybody has some prejudice in him. However, you know, 1%, 99%, whatever that on that scale it is. But those that discriminate and that are racist think that when they think that their race is superior or a certain race is superior or inferior, that's what makes them a racist. Now, you could have prejudicial feelings, but if you don't act on them, you know, there's no harm's going to come to it. You shouldn't.
And that happens because we have a fallen nature. It's called concupiscence. All of us have a dark side to us, and we're fighting against it. So, Ruben, what you're saying is completely Catholic. There's a weakness within man, and we have a fallen nature. And so we see things skewed. Instead of having the mind of Christ, sometimes we have the mind of the world. But go on, Ruben. You're making a good point.
No, so the point I was just trying to make is that, you know, every race has racist people in them, Okay.
Yes.
And when I hear the you know, the Black Lives Matter chant, Black Lives Matter, it's actually offensive to me because it's saying that, you know, cops' lives don't matter. You know, white lives don't matter. Hispanic lives don't matter. Why is just their lives matter? All lives matter. We're all children of God.
Right.
Yeah.
That's based on John 3:16. For God so loved the world, it says.
Yeah.
Right.
And so what's happening now?
I agree.
Yeah, Jess, Paul. Yeah. So what's happening now is people now are afraid to be called a racist because that's like you're blackballed. I mean, if you look what's happening to Tim Gordon.
Tim Gordon.
The quarterback for the Saints, Drew Brees, he's talked about, you know, not taking a knee, and then all of a sudden he was hit with this racial. He was saying the other players that played for him were like, we can't believe he's not backing us up. You could believe in the flag and respecting the flag, and you're not a racist because you don't go along with kneeling for it. You know, like that one officer they showed up. It was on the news. Well, not on regular news, but it was on a conservative channel. A police officer, a trooper from Georgia, a guy was telling him, the protesters say, take a knee. And he was a black man. And he says, no, I only kneel for God. That's the only person I kneel for.
Awesome.
It was on camera. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have to love everybody. Of course, we have to love everybody and we have to get the truth out because this is actually hurting our communities. I just read this morning that 600 New York police officers are turning in the resignation or retirement because they said, look, we're not getting support. Wow. De Blasio is trying to defund the police or cut back. And so you want your community safe, then you find your own people because we've had enough. Enough is enough. You know, ungrateful that you're protecting, you're laying down your life for people who you don't even know. And people don't give a rat's you know what. So,
you know,
comments, Paul?
Ruben,
thoughts?
Real quick. I always defer to scripture on things, and because for me, you know, that's the light unto my path. And, you know,
amen.
Good job.
So I couldn't agree more with the things that you're saying, Ruben. I think that in the end, though, I think there's a huge manipulation going on out here. And it's sad because a lot of people don't want to see it as a manipulation. But as a man thinketh in his heart, the scripture says, so is he. And, you know, if you're constantly told, example, we saw all the leaders of the Democratic Party all basically swear an oath that they were going to, you know, support reparations, right, if they got elected, you know. And the sad reality is If you tell people who are hurting, people who have been told their whole lives that these huge injustices are occurring to them over and over again, and you have these politicians saying, we're going to pay you money, after a while, they start believing the message. You know, they take it to heart and say, you guys owe us. Mm-hmm. And when I used to be involved in family counseling, I learned something, and it was called don't have a stamp collection. So basically, if you're arguing with your spouse, and all of a sudden every time you argue, your spouse says, well, what about on this date, and they bring up this fact, and what about on this date, and they bring up another.
Yeah, women have better memories than we do.
But any counselor will tell you that's off limits. Those things, you have to seal that box. It's mm-hmm. dead and gone. And if you want to make progress and if you want to heal the relationship, you cannot keep opening up old wounds rubbing salt in it.
Really good.
And that's exactly what's going on. We go through the litany of offenses that have occurred, for all time. And, and we wonder why, it irritates people. I remember going to the movies one time, and I remember that movie with Ken Norton, Mandingo, and he ends up, getting boiled in hot water. And I remember when I walked out of that years ago, out of the movie theater, all the African-Americans were angry when they saw that. Mm-hmm. And Hollywood and the media need to take responsibility, because the more they play on these things and they make these movies, as if, what it does.
Like it's happening right now, Paul.
People. Yeah. Yes, yes. And that's what I see going on. And people need to, say enough's enough. And the leaders need to step up. And if we're going to want to sit at the table and make progress, it has to be done, with an open heart and with an understanding. Jess, you hit the nail on the head when you said it all goes back. There's the diabolical is ultimately the puppet master who's manipulating these strings.
Yes.
It doesn't get beyond God, and the only way we can have true healing is to look toward the Lord.
Ruben, and Paul, it's interesting. They teach in exorcism training that one of the things that demons do is that they go after your emotions and passions, and they always go to your memory and bring up things. Right. Demons are able to bring things up from your sense memory data and bring them to the forefront of your recollection to anger you, to trigger you. This is exactly what I see. It's a diabolical. Something happens, an incident here happens, and people are saying, well, look what happened to Rodney King, or what happened here, and what happened to slavery, what happened to Jim Crow. The diabolical is projecting things that have happened in the past in the minds of a lot of these young black men, and bringing them to the forefront of their conscience to trigger them towards anger, which is one of the seven deadly sins. And people like Ben Carson, like yourself, when you ask them, hey, what do you think about racism in the past? Oh, I forgive those people. That was that generation. We move on. I've turned the page. That's what people like you, Ben Carson, Larry Elder say. We'll be right back. Don't change that dial. Three Man Car.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tear and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, It is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. We have a special guest, a friend of the show, Paul, former retired Lieutenant Paul Clay. Thank you for joining us, Paul.
And Ruben, let me make three points, and I want to get Paul's take on this. I want to make three points here. I'm looking at Larry Elder wrote a book. He says, this one phrase is, and I wanted Paul's comments on this. He says, hope dies when authority figures continue to preach helplessness and a lack of options, which conspire to induce a victocrat mentality. In other words, you're always hearing that the system's against you, the man's against you, you need our help. Okay, that's the first point. Here's another point I want to make. Okay. A UCLA public policy professor, James Wilson, said this. Okay, you don't want to be poor? Follow these three to avoid poverty. Number one, finish high school, marry before having a child, and produce the child after the age of 20. Only 8% of families who do this are poor. 79% of those who fail to do this are poor. But in many black communities, pursuing academics means acting white. And the last point I'll make, then I want Paul's take on all this stuff. Music. When you look at some of the musical genre played today, made by, and these guys are very successful. They make tons of money. They make boatloads of money. And most of their fan base is young white kids. Okay, the rap music, just a lot of the black cultural music. Exorcists will tell you that disordered music like this, it has a direct effect on the soul. Disordered music, it leads a person to have a disordered life. You know, Confucius says, if you want to know the morality of a nation, let me hear the music. Roman philosopher Seneca said, vices and sin more easily enter the soul while one is being entertained by music. Plato said, musical training is a more potent instrument than anything else, because the rhythm and harmony find their way into the inward places of the soul. Mm. Probably brought up three things. I want your comments. I talked about, again, constantly harping on, you can't do it, you can't do it. You need, you know, the man's against you. You need our help. Number two, I talked about the education, the three things that the UCLA professor says about finish high school, don't marry, don't have babies out of wedlock, and wait, have a baby once you get married and have a job. And then the power of music on these young black men. What say you?
On the first one, I'll say, you know, listen to this. And I learned this principle many years ago. Without hope for the future, there is no power in the present. Mm. You know, when hope dies, you have there's an inability for you to be effective in the present. And so you cannot take away hope. As far as the three things that you should do in order to have a successful life, well, those are godly principles, right? We're talking about God already laying out that blueprint. Mm-hmm. And if you follow that blueprint, it's the blueprint for success. Yeah. You know, there again, but when you're, you know, when we live in a post-Christian era, when everything is anti-God, You know, and we, you know, we don't need God anymore. Man looks to his own ability to solve these issues. And again, it always results in catastrophe. And that's what we're doing here. It's like in police work. If an accident happens or something like that, we look for causal factors. And the causal factors, you know, ultimately all go back to we have strayed from God. We have gotten away from,
Amen.
You know, the giver of all goodness and the one who sustains us. As far as the music is concerned, self-explanatory. If you listen to some of the music that's being produced, the anger, the violence, they mistreat women and right. refer to them, and you know, in all kinds of pejoratives. I could go on and on with that, but everybody remembers the story of the Pied Piper. Right. And the Pied Piper would play the flute or whatever. And, you know, all the little kids would follow the Pied Piper. Right. Well, that story is, it speaks of a great truth. You know, if you take in, you know, garbage in, garbage out, people are going to follow, and people are going to follow even if it's on a subconscious level. And if you're constantly harping, these messages about, you know, kill the police and anti this and anti that and F this and F that, well, guess what? You're going to eventually, these things, I talked about it before, cause effect, right? They're, for every action, there's an equal and an opposite reaction. And people have refused to take and be accountable for these things.
Yeah. Paul, I want to ask you about Jane Elliott and this 1968 social experiment. We were having a conversation yesterday. Can you share that with the audience?
Yeah. So the day after Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, a third grade teacher, Jane Elliott, she put her students through a social experiment, and she had all white students, but she divided up the brown eyes and the blue eyes. And with the brown eyes, she basically said, okay, you guys, when you go to the water fountain, you can drink all the water you want. And when you have recess, you can take an extended recess. And they were given all kinds of privileges. The blue eyes were denied those privileges. And she saw quickly how the brown eyes became bossy, superior, you know, to the blue eyes. And the blue eyes, of course, felt oppressed. This is unfair, you know, almost like a little mini civil unrest. And, eventually she flipped it to show a couple of things. And one of the things she wanted to show is that, listen, prejudice is learned behavior. And if it's learned behavior, it can be unlearned.
With the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And amen. Because we know, because what is the truth of the matter? Listen, all of the things and the ills that you see throughout human history, you know, listen, we do because we have something called a depraved nature, a sinful nature, right? Yeah. Our natures, we have a fallen nature. And so we have a natural propensity to continue to gravitate toward sin. And the only way that we can combat that is, what does the scripture tell us? Put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Right.
How? By the power of the Spirit. And see, God has given us and armed us with the ability to have the great societies and so forth. But when we reject God on every level, then, you know, we basically said, okay, you know, we have guns, but we choose, you know, we're unarmed. We don't have the bullets. We can't wage the war. And so when you look at people who don't have the Holy Spirit of God, what do they have? The natural man, the Bible says, man left to himself does not receive the things of God. Wow. So he automatically rejects them. And then, and listen to this one, nor he does not receive the things of God, nor can he. Can means having the ability to do something. He lacks the ability to receive the things of God and to act upon them and to be able to correctly, you know, diagnose what the issue is. Because what does the scripture tell us who are in Christ? We have been given the mind of Christ. And with that mind, we truly do have the answers. And this is the message that people need to get. And this is why living in a post-Christian era, and, you know, and basically the world has rejected Christ. And this is why we're on a platform basically to bring in Antichrist.
Yeah.
That's what I've been saying.
Paul,
Ruben, thoughts?
No, just, You know, it's beautiful to see. Sometimes you see the children that are playing together, and you hit it on the nail on the head, Paul. You said it's learned behavior. When a black child and a white child are playing, they don't see any racism. They don't see any color.
Right.
And they're just, it's beautiful to see. And it reminded me of a time when I was grabbing some lunch. I was in full uniform. I was grabbing something to eat. And an African-American lady walked in with her child. And the little kid ran up to me like, hi, you know, probably about 3 years old.
Right.
And the lady said, get over here. You don't say hi. He's not your friend. And I looked at her and I said, you know, what kind of future is that child have? You know, I'm not the enemy.
And yes, Reuben. And we need to take responsibility for that, because the Bible says train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And if you're training the opposite, if you're training that child, you know, the wrong things, that child's automatically going to grow up with fear. He's automatically going to, you know, and there again, this relationship that, you know, that's being played out all across, you know, in every neighborhood across the country between the African-American community and the police department, you know, have everything to do with the broken authority structure and the fact that we represent authority, and it has everything to do with fear and miscommunication and misinformation that is constantly being communicated by the media, and dare I say, the media being manipulated by none other than the great puppet master, you know, Satan.
Amen.
Yeah.
Paul, lead us in a prayer for peace in this land real quick. We're coming to the end of the show. Just lead us in a prayer that God will just, the Prince of Peace will descend upon this land with, go ahead, pray.
Yes, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear God in heaven, we come to you, Lord. We confess our inability, Lord, to have the answers apart from you, Lord. Lord, for the sake of your sorrowful passion, please, Lord, have mercy on us and on the whole world, Lord. Lord, empower those who live godly in Christ Jesus, Lord, to take the lead and to begin to fight this battle against the diabolical and bring peace and comfort to this country.
We pray this in Jesus' name through Mary's intercession.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And dare I say, Hail Mary. Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary,
Mother of God, pray for us
sinners
now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Thanks for your contribution. It was much needed. Ruben, comments?
Thank you. You know, I just... We got to pray for our, you know, all those first responders, all those communities too that are going through this. They want to be secure in their homes and with their families, and
especially blacks, Reuben. They want good black people out there. The majority of them, they want peace. They want police in their community. Yeah. I read a statistic: 86% of blacks want police in their communities. These are the good church going blacks that have, you know, are going out there working every single day, trying to support for the family and doing the right thing. It's a very small, you know, BET rap minority that doesn't want cops.
But the media will have you believe that the majority of people, they hate this country, they hate Trump, they hate, you know, what's been done to them, and that we all owe them reparation. And you know, let's be children of the light. Let's be out there. Let's go out there and lead people to the truth. The truth will set you free.
Yes.
Paul, any last comments?
Well, again,
let's 10 seconds,
keep our
Paul.
Focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. Like, we'll keep our focus on the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the end, we'll be happy with the result.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You've been listening to Jesus 911 on Virgin Most Powerful. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Jeremy Shuda from the Spiritual Dojo in the Midwest Command Center. Thank you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.